We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is KC Sports Network, proudly presented by M-Prize Bank.
Pay heed all who enter and beware. This podcast, you're on the Kansas City Sports Network. This is the Bayou Podcast. I'm Nick Springer along with Kevin Flaherty. And we are back because Kansas football has done more work in the transfer portal. We're going to talk about that all on today's show. Don't forget, if you like what you hear or see, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to leave a comment, like, subscribe, spread the word, and leave us a review as well if you'd like. Also, the Bayou Podcast is brought to you by the M-Prize Bank, your member in all things possible, member FDIC. As I said, Kansas in the transfer portal in the spring once again is doing some work. By Job, Kev, they got him.
I was trying to think how you were going to seg into it, and I had it down to you either hitting a by Job or you hitting like with an in sync like bye.
Oh, true. Yes, bye. He said bye to Mississippi State and said hello to Lance Leipold in Kansas. I'm just wondering, we're talking about By Jobe. That is literally his name. B-A-I is how you spell it. Space J-O-B-E. By Jobe is the latest transfer portal equipment for Kansas football.
Yeah, and a huge one. I mean, we talked about when we were coming out of the spring and we said, you know, hey, where does Kansas need to fill holes? And I think like the first five things on the list were defensive end, right? Like, not that they needed five defensive ends, but that spot was so much more important than their other needs. That was sort of the one thing. And if you were at the spring showcase, you know, Jeremy Robinson didn't play. Dylan Brooks, you know, was hurt. It didn't play. And so you really got a chance to see Kansas's depth at that position. And, you know, guys maybe had a little bit of work to do. You know, I'm sure we'll break down that position specifically, but with Dylan Brooks's injury, he was a guy that I think going into the spring, we felt like he was one of the most important guys in the spring. You wanted him to take that step with Austin Booker leaving opposite Jeremy Robinson. Instead, he suffers an injury, probably going to be out for a while. That stings for multiple reasons. One of those is, you know, if he was just getting a chance to kind of take that next step forward, you know, physically, conditioning, all of those different things that go into making the transition into a really good starting player in the Big 12, you know, that process gets clipped a little bit. And so Kansas went into the transfer portal looking to get a defensive end who, one, was talented, but two, you know, was potentially in a spot where he could compete for it and win that spot opposite Jeremy Robinson. And By Jobe was a guy that they targeted really early on, you know, former four-star prospect, number seven edge rusher in the country at a high school. And Nick, I got to be honest with you, the most talented players aren't always the guys that pan out from an NFL standpoint. You know, sometimes they don't make it. Sometimes guys that aren't the most talented find a way to put it together. But I think Joe sort of instantly becomes, if not the best, you know, NFL prospect in that defensive end room, then he's in that discussion once you just look at the frame, the size, the athleticism. This is a guy that returned kicks, you know, in high school, and he's a defensive end. What did you think of the pickup?
Yeah, I thought just to extend on your point, to me it was the talent, right? I mean, you think about DeShaun Warner and along with Dak Brinkley, two guys that I think KU fans were very excited about if you paid attention to their recruitment at all. DeShaun Warner shot up recruiting boards, obviously ends up being a top 150 recruit in the country, a guy that KU had to fight off some big-time programs to make sure that he stayed committed to the Jayhawks. And you add in Dak Brinkley, another guy who was a highly touted prospect out of the Houston area. And then you look at Bi Jobe, and as a freshman at Michigan State, he didn't get to play as much, but there's no denying the talent was there. And you think about the excitement level that that KU fans might have had for a guy like DeShaun Warner, who's a top 150 recruit. Bi Jobe was a top 50 recruit.
Sure.
Top 50. I mean, some recruiting sites had him as high as number 44 in the country as an overall recruit in the country. So you think about your excitement level for a guy like DeShaun Warner, and now you're bringing in a guy like Bi Jobe, who is that same level of blue chip, high-level recruit. And I think for a place like Kansas, and this is maybe the beauty of the transfer portal, a guy like Bi Jobe maybe in, you know, 5-10 years ago might have just kind of just flamed out, right? If it didn't really work out for Michigan State. And then he maybe wasn't able to have a chance to go somewhere else and kind of, you know, revitalize his career, so to speak. And in the transfer portal, he can do that now. He can come to a place like Kansas and have an opportunity to shine, right? And obviously, you know, we've touched on it in previous episodes, but when you have a guy like Austin Booker, who is a transfer that from Minnesota, who didn't really play that much at all and was very underutilized at Minnesota, and comes to Kansas and turns into Big 12 newcomer of the year and ends up being a fourth round pick, that is an excellent, excellent selling point for players like a Bi Jobe, a guy who definitely has the talent and the raw ability, but maybe just for one reason or another, didn't get a great opportunity in his first stop, in this case at Michigan State. I know Michigan State, I think they got a new defensive coordinator. They were switching schemes, and that was part of the reason why he ultimately entered the transfer portal. In this case, Jobe did. But, you know, for whatever reason, he's looking for a second opportunity and a chance to prove himself. And honestly, I mean, Kansas is a great place to do that because there's a long list of players that have come to KU and done that, most recently being Austin Booker. So, yeah, the talent is off the charts. I don't think there's any question about that. And now you look at KU's defensive end room, and you've got three really, really blue chip level recruits at arguably the second most important position in football. That's massive, right? And we'll probably get into how much that could impact KU specifically this year. But in terms of Bi Jobe, yeah, I mean, it's a great get. You know, you look at KU, they were tight on scholarship numbers. You can only add a couple of players. And I think this has probably been an A-plus spring transfer portal for KU, considering how things play out, right? They didn't really lose any big-time players, right? There were some rumors about a guy like Kobe Bryant, whatever, but those guys ended up all sticking around. You maintain all those players. And then you look at some of the top needs for KU, and guess what? Defensive end and offensive line depth were probably in the top two or three of what KU needed most. So the fact that this staff was able to, first of all, identify their primary needs, and secondly, aggressively go out and pursue those needs, and thirdly, actually follow through and land a couple of commitments from two guys and Amir Herring, who we talked about previously, the offensive lineman from Michigan, and now Bi Jobe on the defensive side for Michigan State. I mean, this is a slam dunk of the spring portal, I think, for KU football in terms of adding players that are very talented. And while they may not have an immediate impact like we saw from Austin Booker last season, they're dudes that can certainly help out this season for KU and then project out to have very, very bright futures a year or two or three even down the road for KU.
Yeah, and one of the things I liked about this was with a lot of the other younger guys there, you know, you're wanting them to get bigger, to add weight and strength and all of those different things. You know, DeShaun Warner is a really talented guy. He was also 217 pounds at the U.S. Army, or I guess now they call it the All-American Bowl. It's no longer the Army All-American Bowl. But he was 217 pounds there. He's got some work to do from that perspective. Dak Brinkley, you saw him in the spring, you know, kind of a slender guy still, needs to put in work in the weight room. Dylan Brooks, you know, was a four-star guy, you know, when he went to Auburn, another guy that you wanted to see build himself up physically. Dean Miller had been in the program for a little bit. He's another guy that was continuing to build himself up physically. Bi Jobe was listed at Michigan State at 252 pounds. Today, after he picked Kansas, his trainer posted, you know, a photo of him working out and you know, looks like a pretty thick kid right now, and he's And the trainer said that he's 245 pounds. And so having sort of that ready-made frame where that's not necessarily your concern, you know, with some of the other pieces, I think it adds a little bit of a security blanket there. You know, if it would be great if Dean Miller added the weight that you wanted him to add. It would be great if DeShawn Warner would hit the ground running from a strength and conditioning standpoint. If Dak Brinkley, after being in for the spring, you know, was able to take that leap physically. Jobe is kind of already there physically. That doesn't mean he doesn't still have work to do. Every player has work to do. But at the same time, you know, he is somebody that you're not necessarily throwing him out there and feeling like, okay, he's, you know, he's potentially going to get pancaked in the running game or whatever else. And I think it's worth noting, you know, the Les Miles staff did a really great job evaluating defensive linemen. And Jeremy Robinson is a guy that friend of the show, Kent Swanson, you know, who's on a lot of KC Sports Network's, you know, really excellent Chiefs podcasts. You know, heading into last year, and Ken is part of that group that puts together the Chiefs draft guide, which is much hit every year. He kind of felt like Jeremy Robinson was maybe the best NFL prospect on KU's team heading in. Now, I do think Devin Neal took a jump from where he was as a sophomore. If you talk to some NFL people, you know, they kind of felt like Neal coming out of his sophomore year, maybe a little bit stiff. They were kind of interested to see where, you know, where he came out. I do think he kind of maybe vaulted himself into that discussion. But the point just being, you know, you have all these recruits. You also have Robinson, who, you know, is a guy that is capable of having an NFL season and the type of season that would draw NFL attention. And I think that, you know, you and I have had a discussion off air, and I don't want to belabor the point, but I think it's a good point to make. If you're asking by Jobe to be Austin Booker fresh out of the box, that's a lot. That really is. But Jeremy Robinson is now a multi-year starter. He's somebody that you know what you're getting. He's continued to develop and everything else. I think Jeremy Robinson could potentially be an all Big 12 guy if everything clicks for him. And there's the possibility that a by Jobe or by Jobe committee, that you could find somebody that could be similar to what Robinson was bringing on the other side opposite Booker a year ago.
Yeah, I do agree with your point on if you are looking for a one-for-one trade of try to replace Austin Booker, you're probably going to be pretty disappointed. I don't think that's just going to happen. But that's not to say that to your point, a guy like By Jobe can't step in and be a part of a committee of players that kind of fill that void. But yeah, I think if your expectation is that you want somebody to just be one-for-one for Austin Booker, I need to lower that up just a tiny bit.
I'm going to be first team All Big 12, the second, you know, I don't want to say undersold parts, but Austin Booker did put in a lot of work after he came in, you know, and there have been a lot of people that have written that article and, you know, the work that he did with Gildersleeve to kind of develop his fluidity and things like that to help him work out. You know, I think the technique work, you know, that he did with the Kansas coaches also helped him take a step forward from where he was in Minnesota. With By Jobe, you have the raw clay there, right? You've got the bigger frame, you've got the athleticism, you've got the fluidity, the twitch, the things that you want. If you go into the SEC and say, hey, show me a defensive end, By Jobe is what they look like. You know, he really is. And so, you know, it's about having that. And then the process, you hate to say it starts now, but, you know, what's he going to do from this point on? What's he going to do in Kansas' strength and conditioning program? What's he going to do to make himself ready to play? Because I think from where they both came in, you know, Austin Booker was maybe behind By Jobe from a talent standpoint, but Booker put in the work to maximize kind of where he was at. And now it remains to be seen, you know, is Jobe going to be able to do the same thing? And a guy that we didn't talk about with that big group, Dylan Lundke, all of a sudden, I mean, he looked like a good get at the time, you know, as a guy that can kind of fill that Hayden Hatcher role, eat up a lot of downs, be really solid for you and everything else. With Jobe coming in with the talent there and everything, I think Woodke's role is really nice with this group, that he has that level of experience that he can play with strength on rundowns. And I think, you know, he's kind of got his path to playing time laid out in front of him as well.
I'd have a couple more thoughts on Jeremy Robinson and Bi Joe, and then we'll springboard into the rest of the defense. We'll get to those right after this break. Before we get to the break, I do got to tell you about one of our other sponsors at Home Field Apparel. You can go to homefieldapparel.com. Browse over 130 different colleges, including Kansas, of course, who has 40 different items on homefieldapparel.com. If you use the promo code KCSN23, you'll get 15% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com. I'm a company man today, Kevin. I've just got the Kansas League Sports Network shirt, but I've got myself about three or four different KU shirts. I've got some KU sweatpants. Of course, the weather's getting warmer now, so I probably will store those a little bit for the summer, but they've got some great items that can get you covered over at Home Field Apparel. Once again, use that promo code KCSN23 for 50% off your first order at homefieldapparel.com. More KU football tech, more KU football talk coming up next.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest-ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the Pay Heed Podcast. I'm Nick Springer alongside Kevin Flaherty. Don't forget, if you like what you're hearing or seeing, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to hit the like button, the subscribe button for all KU content coming your way throughout the summer. Then we'll get you geared up for KU football season coming up this fall as well. Should be a blast, and I know Kevin and I are excited about it. It's actually just annoying that we still have to wait like four more months for KU football to begin. But a couple more thoughts I had here on Jeremy Robinson as you were kind of talking about it. And maybe think, you know, you mentioned it. Jeremy Robinson is a guy who is a multi-year starter. And when you bring in players like Dak Brinkley, like Bi Jobe, and like Deshaun Warner, what better player to sort of guide them or lead them than a guy who's been in the program, who has seen the ups and downs of KU football over the last four-plus years, and has been a multi-year starter than Jeremy Robinson? I mean, I think that's kind of a great fit there to have sort of that veteran player that can guide some of those young guys. Because, you start to salivate when you think about those three players, Jobe, Warner, and Brinkley, and again, then you throw in like Dylan Brooks, you know, in 2 or 3 years. And I was thinking, man, having a guy like Jeremy Robinson to sort of set the table for those guys, guide them this season, is probably pretty significant. I think probably shouldn't be overlooked.
Yeah, and I know that we're talking about this year, and you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself, especially with transfer portal nonsense. But when you look at the way that they built this defensive end room and everything, and I think you can include the tackles in this, and maybe that's the segue into that position. But this is a group that this year, some of those guys could, you know, take their lumps maybe a little bit, kind of grow on the job. And then next year, you won't have Robinson, but you will have a lot of these other guys, these really talented guys, four of whom were former four-star high school prospects. You know, you add in the defensive tackles like DJ Withers and Tommy Dunn, and you're going to have a pretty experienced and talented group next year. And you think about how you want to build a football program and build it for lasting success, right? It starts with the lines out. You do want to get, obviously, a franchise quarterback, because especially at the college level, that can change so much of what you're able to do. And I think Kansas has done a great job there with Zeke Marshall and then David McCollum, who's committed in this class. But I think that when you look at, hey, if Kansas is still going to be the program that Lance Leipold wants it to be, and if Kansas is going to continue to kind of take the steps forward that they've taken, it starts up front. And you look at the Liberty Bowl against Arkansas, when you saw them in person, Arkansas was significantly bigger than Kansas was on both lines. And you saw Kansas kind of struggle to run the ball in that game. Obviously, Jalen Daniels went nuts and they wound up, you know, sticking around in overtime. But I think the defensive line as well, you know, struggled to slow down Arkansas's running game. They struggled to get KJ Jefferson down. KJ Jefferson is now in the Big 12 at UCF. But I think that when you look at how you want to build a defense, how you want to build your team, it starts up front, and they've done a really good job of evaluating, developing, but then also using that transfer portal to kind of add in some pieces here or there where there are holes. And I think heading into 2025, I think the defensive line and the defensive end room in particular could be a major strength for Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of touched on it, but you think about some of the areas where you had the biggest question marks or the biggest concerns for KU coming into 2024. Defensive line, defensive end, pass rush was probably near the top, right? You wake up yesterday morning thinking, oh my gosh, what is KU going to do? Well, then now you get a guy like Bijob. And in terms of now, the question becomes, what can Bijob do this season for KU? And I think we kind of talked about it already, but Austin Booker probably is a bit too high of expectations for what he could bring. But I don't think there's any question that he is a guy with the little talent that he has that can come in and be a rotation type player,
sure,
with the potential to break out a little bit and really help out Kansas's pass rush. So I think it's fantastic that KU was able to get a guy like this who really helps shore up their depth for this season and gives them some potentially high upside for this season. But kind of also what you mentioned, Kevin, really, you think further down the road, and he's going to be somebody that could be the cornerstone of what could become a really elite level pass rush that KU is developing with some of the young players they have. But certainly in terms of 2024, I think when you look at it in the immediacy of this upcoming season, he's somebody that does add some upside and could be a rotation piece. I don't expect him to come in and really start day one. And if he is starting, I would maybe, my concerns would increase a little bit, actually, probably, if that was the case for guys like Dean Miller. But even still, I do think Job is a guy who adds a significant level of upside to this room that was lacking a little bit. And, you know, you think about a guy like Deshaun Warner, who adds some upside as well, but he's coming in as a true freshman, right? And as you said, you know, under 220 pounds. So there could be some extra steps for him to get to that point. Whereas Job is maybe further along in that process to where he could be somebody who provides some real impact coming into this season.
It also changes the way you can use him, right? Because you, all of a sudden with Deshaun Warner, you're not sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, we have to roll him out on first and 10, you know, and risk him, you know, potentially being in a spot where he doesn't yet have the strength to hold up or whatever. And Warner has a chance to make up a lot of ground in the strength and conditioning program in a hurry. He is just absolute lightning off the edge. I mean, that's what he is. A lot of guys can turn the edge. He can turn the edge, but one of the things that makes him devastating is he's so loose in his hips that he changes direction incredibly well. The number of times he set up a tackle to the outside and then cut across the tackle's face before he even realized he was there, you know, was off the charts. And you add in a guy, I know we're talking defensive ends, but you add in a guy like John Kamara, who was a really good pass rusher from a linebacking spot, has a great frame as well. I think, you know, he may be a natural fit for that hawk position that we'll get to in a little bit. But I also think, you know, Kamara is a guy that you're going to put him in the weight room and you're going to develop him and everything else. It wouldn't be a shock if physically, you know, Kamara, you know, added some weight, added some strength, and winds up joining that group too. But I think one of the things that makes this defensive end group really nice is the fact that I'm so bullish on Kansas's two starting defensive tackles. I think, you know, losing Devin Phillips hurts. I think he was a really underrated player and, you know, probably Kansas's best defensive tackle a year ago. But you look at the gains that DJ Withers and Tommy Dunn made under Jim Panagos. You know, Kansas asked those guys to play a gap and a half. And if you're like, oh my gosh, Kevin's speaking French right now, you know, basically you think about a gap, you know, it is when you're lined up in a gap and you want to shoot through it and penetrate that way. A two gap, you're over the top of somebody and you're trying to control the space to either side of that guy. And one of the things that Kansas asked those guys to do is have the gap to get, you know, penetration and push, but then to also be able to free up your arm and attack half of the gap that's next to him. And I think Withers and Dunn both have the ability to do that. They have strength, they have mobility, they have a lot of things there. And then, you know, for Kansas to go out, defensive tackle was a spot they needed to address in the portal as well. And they did that with Javi Durrett as well.
Yeah, Javier Derrick, the transfer from North Dakota State, is a guy that adds to that room, right? Because this is also a Kansas defense that they like to rotate, right? They like to play multiple guys. And I think when you're in a conference like the Big 12, maybe, I don't know, maybe not as much now as maybe, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago with the air raid and up-tempo offenses. But still, I mean, you lose a team like Oklahoma, but still, the Big 12 is definitely still has some more up-tempo type teams. So you want to keep guys fresh and be able to rotate. And so having those top two, Tommy Dunn and DJ Withers, and listen, this is their time, right?
Yeah.
You think about the development they've had over the past couple of years, it's really built for this season, right? Where it's those two guys kind of leading the charge in that room. And then you throw in a guy like Caleb Taylor, who's probably got some great experience and is going to be a real veteran leader in that room as well. You throw in a Javier Derrick also. I feel pretty solid about where the defensive tackles are on the interior, certainly from a run-stopping standpoint as well. But I did like what you mentioned about Devin Phillips, because I do wonder if Devin Phillips was overlooked in terms of what he did, just because, you know, you maybe look at a box score after the game and you scroll down and see, man, I don't see D. Phillips on there. Well, that dude was still making plays if you were paying attention. He was still clogging lanes and creating issues for opposing teams. But I do feel really, really good about DJ Withers and Tommy Dunn as two players that, again, have kind of been developing up to this season. Like, this is kind of their season now to step up and be those two guys leading the charge in the middle of that defensive line.
James Light, who posts a lot of like coaching clinic things and everything, posted some of a Jim Panagos coaching thing. And one of the plays that he showed, Devin Phillips, you know, blew up his block, got penetration, you know, kind of dove at the back and couldn't make the tackle himself, but it was cleaned up by other guys. And to your point, you know, when you have a really good defensive tackle like that and a guy that can play that well, it does open things up for everybody else. And, you know, I actually think that that's maybe a little bit of a seg into the linebackers, because if those defensive tackles are really good, if they play to the level that we think that those guys can, it's going to free those guys up to look a lot better as well. One guy I do want to mention before we flip over is I'm a big Keenan Caldwell fan. And the reason why is he came in to play in sort of that Les Miles two gap system. He's kind of that big, you know, space holding guy. You know, there's a coaching change. He doesn't necessarily fit the system as hand and glove as he did the previous system. A lot of times you're seeing that guy transfer, right? You're seeing him go to another place, and Keenan's continued to work and you know, it would be pretty cool if he were able to find a spot in that rotation this year. And I think, you know, outside of those top few guys, some of those spots are still up for grabs. He's got a chance at that.
Yeah, and I believe Keenan Caldwell dealt with an injury. He had a season-ending injury 1 year as well that kind of set him back. But yeah, certainly, I mean, I think that's a position group where it's like, hey, listen, the more capable bodies you have, the better, right?
Sure.
Because you can keep rotating those players in. But you did mention that, you know, when you have a defensive tackle room or defensive tackle group that can take on blocks and eat blocks, that does free up things for the linebackers. That takes into account there's a linebacker room, and they're kind of headlined by J.B. Brown, the electric hard-hitting linebacker transfer from Bowling Green, who was really, really good for KU last season. He's probably the headliner, but a guy that has maybe got under the radar a little bit, but not so much now. I think he's starting to get more traction and more publicity, which he deserves, is Cornell Wheeler, a transfer from Michigan, who is going to be stepping into that Rich Miller spot. He's been wearing the gray dot in practices this spring, which is, in case you aren't familiar, the NCAA has allowed now to where you can have the headset mics in or the headset communicators in the helmets of players. Obviously, you have the quarterback typically on offense, and then usually like a middle linebacker on defense. That's been Cordell Wheeler, and I think that speaks highly to where his development is at. So, Kevin, unfortunately, you're not going to get the rainbow of 17 guys wearing different hoodies, all flailing their arms, making hand signals, like you used to get. But you're going to get hopefully some better communication now with your defensive players. And Cordell Wheeler is the guy that's got that green sticker so far since Spring
Day. The play calling version of the Harlem Shake, right? Where everybody kind of, you know, jumps around and does. Now, I do think the linebacking group is an interesting one. You know, J.B. Brown was such a necessary piece last year because they had to get more athletic at those spots. And you really saw the athleticism pop quite a bit. He made some big plays. Wheeler, for a guy who didn't start last year, had some huge plays. You look at the interception against Texas. I think he had, was it the second down tackle that he had against Oklahoma when Oklahoma was trying to run out the clock at the very end, and he made a patter around the backfield that kind of led to Oklahoma, you know, punting the ball, and then Kansas, you know, coming back down and getting the game-winning score. Yeah. It's funny because we talked about this a little bit with Amir Herring, you know, who was the Michigan transfers joining from the offensive line, and then we said, you know, coming from Michigan and everything else, you know, people are going to look at Amir Herring and be like, why isn't he starting? And it's probably going to be a little bit of a process for him, right? He's going to come in, he's going to learn the system, he's going to continue to develop, and his playing time is a year or two probably down the line. He could win a rotational spot, but as far as a starter, Wheeler was a guy like that, because when he came in, Kansas was really struggling at those linebacker spots, and I think people just said, oh, you're a linebacker from Michigan, like, well, why aren't you starting?
Yeah, get in there.
And he's continued to put everything together. And every time you see him, he's a little bit better than he was the previous time. And so I think Wheeler could have a really big year. You know, J.B. Brown's athleticism really helps him there. Obviously, Tywan Berryhill has played a ton of football at Kansas and has had some really good moments as well. I think when they go with an actual like three linebacker look, it'll probably be those three. But as we saw last year, you know, one of the things that Kansas likes to do is play a little bit differently with that hawk spot. And I think that's one of the areas where maybe the loss is a little bit bigger than people are talking about, because Craig Young was such an athlete. You could leave him out there for so many different things. You know, he was a linebacker, but he was basically a safety, but he could also rush the passer. So you had him out there, and you could run different packages, and he could still be the guy out there. And so you could disguise what you were doing. He could, you know, line up over a slot receiver and not embarrass himself. I think Kansas is going to have to paint by numbers at that spot this year. I don't know that they have one guy that can kind of fill all those roles. And so you're looking at probably Jason Gilliam being, you know, maybe the guy there that's a little bit more like a linebacker. I think Marvin Grant could get some time there when it looks more like a safety. And there are going to be times when that hawk spot is more of a true nickel. And so you could see, you know, potentially one of the dies there. And so I do think you know, kind of last year where you said, hey, it's Craig Young, just let him do whatever. I think that's one spot where you could be looking at the end of the year and say, it took three guys to do what Craig Young did. And that's not necessarily a knock, because those guys could be a little bit better at their specified things than Craig Young was. But at the same time, I think when people look at the defense and they say, you lost this, you lost this, you know, this is a blow, I think Young's versatility is an area that's maybe a little bit slept on. That, and, you know, you did get more athletic at linebacker with Rich Miller, you know, moving on. But obviously his leadership, his experience, things like that will be missed too.
Yeah, I think similarly to our discussion of Austin Booker, you kind of can apply that same thought process to the Hawk position with Craig Young, which is you're probably not going to have a one-for-one trade of a guy that you can put in there. And Brian Boylan, defensive coordinator for KU, kind of said as much in the spring of, hey, you know, we're throwing a bunch of different guys into that spot. Now, from KU's perspective, you'd hope that by the time you get into fall camp, they have maybe one or two or three guys specifically zeroed in on that they want at that position. You know, you mentioned a couple there with guys like Jason Gilliam, Marvin Grant, who I am very excited about as a player. Regardless of how KU deploys him, I think he'll be very successful. And then you think about even a player like a Logan Brantley, who seems like maybe he was getting some run at that type of position. And I guess for the linebacker, just kind of wrap up that thought before we can go in more into the secondary here. From the linebacker position, my only concern really is that I don't really know how much depth this position group has.
Yeah.
If a guy like a Cornell Wheeler did get dinged up, you know, Tywan Berryhill was dinged up for a good chunk of last season. He missed some games here and there. If, you know, J.V. Brown were to go out with an injury, that's maybe my primary concern, because I feel really, really comfortable with J.V. Brown. I think Cornell Wheeler is also poised to have a great season. And I think Tywan Berryhill does bring an element of leadership to that room as well, or certainly experience. But I do wonder about the depth. But looking at the Hawk position, kind of like you mentioned, you know, some of those different players that you try to fill that spot, and that kind of leaves KU open to what they want to do beyond that in the secondary, right? I mean, you look at the safeties. Marvin Grant is obviously a guy that if you're just playing a standard defense, Marvin Grant would probably be one of your safeties along with O.J. Burrows. You've got both of the Dye brothers who seem to be coming along and making plays. Well, I know Jalen, both those guys made some pretty big plays actually in the spring showcase last month. I remember earlier, Kevin, you had said that the safety room is the room that maybe you are the most excited about and you think is maybe even the best room on this team. Why is it?
Yeah, I think that when you look at the starters and the experience there, you know, O.J. Burrows and Marvin Grant, I mean, that's one of the Big 12's best safety groupings, I think, right there. Grant's, you know, athleticism for his size, obviously he's a big hitter. That allows you to move him around, do different things. The Dyes, I think both of them, you know, look like they have pretty strong springs. There's some athleticism there. How about a guy like Mason Ellis, who made some nice special teams plays for him? I don't know that people realize Mason Ellis was a guy that KU, I don't want to say found at camp because he was a local guy. He's from Mulvane, Kansas. But he came in, he was 6'2", and he ran in the 4.4s. And that guy is, you know, That guy's usually a starter for you in the last 15 years of Kansas football. And so, you know, I think when you look at the depth of that group, and they've got some good young guys there too that I think are up and coming. I like that you mentioned Logan Brantley at the linebacker position, because I think this staff has really shown they like to develop guys and have them come up sort of at their own time, right? Like DJ Withers and Tommy Dunn, they were kind of bit players 2 years ago. Then last year, you know, they were in the rotation, they did more. And then this year, you know, they're the dudes. And that's kind of the natural growth process. I think if linebacker was deeper, you might look at a guy like Logan Brantley and say, okay, you know, wait another year or two, he'll get his chance. And whereas now I think you look at that summer as being so important for him and for some other guys. They did bring in two really good freshmen. They would prefer not to play them, but, you know, if those guys are good enough, that's a possibility there. But I think it's safety. Like I said, you kind of have it all, right? O.J. Burrows is the guy who set, like, the interceptions record at IMG Academy. Like, that's not small potatoes with all the guys that come through there. I think Marvin Grant you know, has a chance to be one of the better safeties in the Big 12. And then you add in the layers of depth, you know, not just, you know, there's experienced guys, there's guys who have been good on special teams. And there are even, like I said, younger guys that I think, you know, hey, if this guy puts it together or whatever else, I really think that safety room is about as deep a position group as Kansas has on its team.
Yeah, and quick note on Mason Ellis. Matt Gildersleeve had they introduced a thing called speeding tickets, where if you run a certain speed, you get a ticket. But he said earlier in spring ball that Mason Ellis was actually had the fastest time, was clocked as the fastest runner for KU, which is pretty remarkable, right? When you think about having a guy like Quentin Skinner on your team, Kobe Bryant, Melo Dotson, it was Mason Ellis who was clocked as the fastest player, really, which is pretty cool. So he's a guy that, yeah, maybe it's on special teams, but seems like he is in a position where he could make an impact in some capacity, which is pretty cool. And speaking of Kobe Bryant, Melo Dotson,
yeah,
look at that quarterback room, man. I mean,
wow.
Melo Dotson and Kobe Bryant, you mentioned it with the safeties. If you feel that Marvin Grant and O.J. Burroughs is one of the better safeties combinations in the Big 12, you've also got probably the best cornerback combination as well in the Big 12 with Kobe Bryant and Melo Dotson, with both those players coming back to Kansas. And obviously we know what Kobe Bryant can do. We know what type of player he is, and Noah Dotson as well. But man, you look at that, you think about those guys combined with the safeties, and you got to feel pretty good about this defense's ability to cover the pass coming into 2024.
Yeah. And you know, behind those guys, you've got Demaryius McGee, who is a big time recruit at LSU, you know, and is developing kind of the way that they want him to do. In the spring, a guy I really liked, and I liked him coming out of high school too, was Jamil Croft. I think he's one of those guys that it would not surprise me at all if he turns out to be a really high-level cornerback. And in this recruiting class, you know, I thought was terrific. I thought Austin Alexander was about as good a cornerback as Kansas has signed in a while. And so you will once again have these levels, right? You've got your senior starters that have played a ton, and then you've got the guys that are coming up behind them, and then you've got like the really young guys. And so Kansas, you know, so often I'm reminded of Mike Lee, you know, enrolling early, you know, basically skipping his last year of high school football and showing up on campus and being thrown into the fire pretty much the second he got there. I don't think that's going to happen here. And I'm not saying freshmen won't ever play or anything like that, but if they do play, Nick, it's going to be because they're good enough. It's not going to be because Kansas just has to have this player, you know, out there playing. I take your point with the cornerback duo really well. You know, I think Kobe Bryant is probably in the discussion for the best cornerback in the Big 12. I think Travis Hunter would probably collect a lot of votes there. Dakario Davis over in Arizona is going to get a lot of votes there. But I'm not sure another school has two of them like Kansas has at that level. And so I'm interested to see, you know, not only where Kobe and Melo go from what they did a year ago when they were really good, but also to see how comfortable Kansas feels rotating through some of those other guys. You know, is Kobe out there playing, you know, 72 of 75 plays, or is it the sort of thing where they feel like they can, you know, have a Jamil Croft or Demaryius McGee out there? I think it's an interesting question to ask.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up those other guys, because KU had Kalen Gervin last season.
Yeah.
Who was sort of their plug-and-play nickel guy, right? I mean, there was sort of if you knew you were going to be running out more than two DBs, you knew it was going to be Kalen Gervin being that third guy. Well, obviously, he's no longer on the team, and that opens up the possibility for somebody like a Demaryius McGee to step in, who dealt with an injury last season, unfortunately. But you think about, you know, who you mentioned as well, Jamil Croft. And so there is going to be a lot of question marks. I think that's sort of it's a good problem to have, I think, when you look at this Kansas back half of the defense especially, is there's a lot of pieces, and the key is just going to be figuring out how to fit them together, right? But you've got really quality pieces all around, and the question is going to be, how exactly does Brian Borland choose to deploy them? In what packages? How do you pair them up, right? That's going to be the real challenge, which is great, because, right, you'd rather have that be the issue than the issue of, well, hell, I only got one or two guys, and how the hell am I going to pair up those other positions? So it's a good problem to have, for sure, that KU has these sort of different pieces that they're going to try to figure out how to fit together. But, you know, you think about the skill set of Marvin Green, you think about the skill set of a Melo Dotson, of a Kobe Bryant, and how does that work with some of the other guys, O.J. Burroughs, you know, the Dye brothers, even at Jason Gilliam, or, you know, and then obviously that impacts as well how KU might deploy that hawk position, or the Cinco position as they sometimes call it as well, if it's a to the boundary position. So there's lots of different questions that I think are very intriguing about this back half of the defense, but they're good questions. They're good problems to have because they have different pieces that it feels like, okay, now the question is, how do we figure it out? How do we put these guys together on the field to where they can execute at the highest level and be the most successful?
So with the addition of By Joe, if you were to say, okay, the biggest question mark was defensive end, you feel a little bit better about it with the addition of By Joe. Your biggest question mark for the defense now, with after the By Joe addition, what do you think it is?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's probably got to be linebacker depth.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the linebacker position, and again, I mean, like we mentioned, you know, you feel pretty solid about your starters, really, with Cornell Wheeler, Tywan Berryhill, and J.B. Brown. But in a situation where you do have to, you know, sub a guy out, or if there's an injury, you know, then what's that going to look like going beyond that? That probably becomes the biggest question. And to be fair, you know, with the pass rush situation, we kind of touched on it, you know, By Job is not problem solved. Woo, yeah, you know, when we sing Kumbaya about it. But you do feel a lot better, obviously, about that now, because you have added some significant high upside to the room. You got another body that you can utilize as well. So I don't want to sit here and say that I am just now completely fine with the pass rush. That's going to be great. I am still intrigued about how that's going to work and how those players can perform. But certainly I do feel a lot better about it now. I do think probably the linebacker room is where I turn to with the depth, right? I don't have any questions about the starters. I think, like I said, I'm very excited about Cornell Wheeler, and I expect that he will be a quality player for KU stepping into that role of that Rich Miller role, basically, along with J.B. Brown, and then, you know, a guy who's experienced with Tywan Berryhill. But I have some questions about the depth beyond that in the middle of the defense, because, I mean, like you said, I mean, that safety room and the secondary for KU is maybe the strongest group on this entire team with the starters and even some of the depth they have there. So I think it's got to be linebackers where I turn to and say, you know, can they withstand an injury? I don't know. And obviously it's football. You know, there's going to be injuries. Injuries are going to happen, which it's just the nature of the game. You just hope that for KU's sake, maybe it doesn't happen there. And then you can rely on some of those guys to be healthy and play at a high level throughout the season.
Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, it just in terms of, there have been a lot of years where Kansas hasn't had a starting lineup defensively that has looked like this. And so you were kind of like, depth, you know, why would I be worried about depth? I don't like the starters. And so, you know, it's a nicer problem to have. But, you know, when you look at some of the teams that you're going to play potentially with tempo, when you look at, you know, the fact that guys get banged up over the course of a full season, I do think that depth could be a little bit of a concern there. It's not necessarily something you go in saying, my gosh, this is going to cost Kansas a trip to the Big 12 title game, but it could. Like, it's, you know, depending on what happens, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, it's like having an insurance policy on something in your house. You don't have the insurance policy, you're not automatically doomed. Like, something has to break still, right? But if something does break, then you're kind of doomed. And so I think that's kind of where things are at defensively, just in terms of you're starting to feel better about where the starting lineup is, about some of those pieces. There are some positions where you do feel good about the depth, but overall the insurance policy at those positions is maybe the concern that you have there, where you say, okay, right now you're counting on J.B. Brown and Cornell Wheeler and Tywan Berryhill to do a lot. You get a couple rolled ankles, you know, whatever else, and I'm knocking on wood as I say this, you know, we could be having a very different conversation.
I said this at the end of our previous podcast, talking about the offense coming out of spring now, the addition of By Job. What's your feeling? What's your grade really on this defense out of spring, heading into the summer and heading into this 2024 season?
You know, I gave the offense, did I give it a B+ or an A-?
Yes. B plus A. I think A minus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I gave him a B plus. I think it was A minus. And with the defense, I will say I think it's a lower grade. I do think that this is, you know, the weaker side of the ball, at least at this point. There are still more questions to answer, I think, than on offense. And that's to be understood when on offense you return so many guys, especially at skill positions. But I think the other concern that I would have, you know, not necessarily just that, but playmakers are what tells the tale for you defensively, right? And you know, it's, you can be solid at a lot of different spots, but you really need to have guys that are all Big 12 level guys. And looking at it, obviously Kobe is that level guy. You know, Melo last year was as good a guy, you know, a second corner as there was in the league from a playmaking standpoint. I think Marvin Grant is in that discussion. The front seven, I think you still have to answer some playmaking questions where it's, who are the guys here that are going to be all Big 12 level guys, at least in that discussion. You know, they don't have to be first team all Big 12. They don't have to be whatever. But Austin Booker made up for a lot being, you know, as devastating a pass rusher as he was. You know, Devin Phillips, even though he wasn't maybe in those discussions, being, you know, potentially Kansas's best defensive tackle last year, he helped a lot of other guys. Craig Young helped a lot of what they were able to do because of that. And so I think that's the one thing where I'll say at this point, maybe a B minus. You feel pretty good about the starting group as a whole. You're a little concerned about the depth. But I would say the other concern is in those front seven guys, we don't necessarily have a lot of guys that right now we're looking at and saying, hey, this is a guy that's going to go out and change a game for Kansas. And that could be Jeremy Robinson, could be Withers or Dunn. You know, it could be a Cornell Wheeler. Like, I'm not saying that they can't have those guys. I'm just saying coming out of the spring, you're still not 100% sure who those guys are.
Yeah, I think there's just a lot of unknowns.
Right? Sure.
There's a lot of guys where if they reach their potential or if they play to the level that we think they can play, suddenly you feel really good about, right? But when you have so many unknowns about the Hawk position, which was such a critical position for you last season with Craig Young, with the pass rush, like I said, I still, you know, with the addition of Bijob is great, but it's still an area where you say, okay, what's that going to look like? Who's going to be able to sort of step up in that area? So I think that's really the biggest thing is that there's just some unknowns, right? And that's, I think people may inherently hear that and think, oh, well, it's negative. It's not negative. It's just that there are guys that you haven't seen it yet. You haven't seen them step into the roles maybe that they may be asked to step into this season. And yeah, to your point, this is probably the unit that's weaker compared to the offense, but that's a given when you have Jalen Daniels, preseason offensive player of the year last year, back. You have Devin Neal, a guy who's going to have almost every running back record you can think of, back, plus three really talented receivers.
This is their third year starting together. Like, yeah, I mean, that's, so, yeah. And of course, like you said, it's going to look weaker.
Yeah, so the defense is not far behind that, but there are more questions. There's more what ifs, you know. There's more what ifs about what if this guy doesn't pan out, what if this, you know, so on and so forth. So I would agree with you. I'd probably go B on the defense. Okay. You know, the addition of Bijob certainly upgrades it significantly for me, just in terms of adding in that upside. But there are still questions.
I think I was a little higher on the offense than you were, and you were
a little higher on the defense. So yeah, there you go. Well, that's our spring football discussion. KU football, by the way, as we mentioned earlier, kind of knocked it out of the park with the transfer portal this spring with Amir Herring and Bijob. So plenty to be excited about for KU as they exit spring football here. This has been the Payee Podcast with Ken Flaherty. I'm Nick Springer. Be sure to click the like and subscribe button if you like what you heard or saw on YouTube. Leave us a comment, leave us a review. It helps get the word out about the podcast covering all things happening with KU. We have something a little bit fun planned for throughout the offseason for KU football, so definitely stay tuned for that, and plus more coverage of KU on the basketball side as well, with like the NBA draft coming up at Furpreet itself. I'm sure we'll be talking about that coming up as well. But until then, he is Kevin Flaherty. I'm Nick Springer. Thanks so much for tuning in. This has been another episode of Pay Heed here on the Kansas City Sports Network. We'll talk to you later. See ya.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU,
K-State or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.